Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
That was a little play-by-play from the impressive, well, at least from my perspective, impressive. I know I'm getting some pushback.
It was only the Panthers.
Whatever. I don't think this Patriots team is all that good where they can, like, look down their nose at
Hold
wins.
Hold on. So, wait, it's too early. It's too optimistic a day. Red Sox are in the playoffs, even with Giolito on the shelf temporarily, if not for the remainder of the postseason. The Patriots are 2-2, 29-point win. We can't be already arguing with prospective text lines, callers. Just let it be.
I struggle in that area. I struggle just
I've noticed.
I tend to respond, which gets me in trouble on occasion.
Try to let it be.
Got a big smile from Dan Ball back there as he sits between the two chairs. Apparently Stiz stepped out for a minute. It's a little bit shaking right now, like it's a little off-putting for me to stare at that big smiling face moving from mic to mic.
Why?
Because you don't know how to use all the buttons, as you just
showed. I did pick the wrong microphone just then. That's true.
So yesterday's performance was, I saw this was posted by Ben Volen, one of the most efficient games in NFL history when you consider the points per play. Patriots scored 42 points on 48 plays, I believe is the number. Now, obviously, it helps when you have a punt return for a touchdown, but I'm sure some of those other top games had that as well. But I think some of the efficiency was really about one guy, and it's not Drake May.
Who that?
And it's not Will Campbell. It's not Stephon Diggs. Not Ben Brown stepping in. I think it was about our guy, Josh McDaniels. I really think yesterday was one of his better performances. Well, certainly of this season, but one of his better performances, pulling it all together. If you were one of those when he returned that said, don't consider what he did with Tom Brady in New England or what he did with anybody elsewhere. Consider what he did with Mac Jones in 2021. That's the measuring stick. What can he do with a young quarterback?
Or that he squeezed blood from a stone with Cam Newton.
But not even that, because I thought that offense sucked, quite honestly. He got the most out of it, but it still sucked. Whereas the Mac Jones offense was good enough to have people in the middle of that season, December, November, talking Super Bowl, number one seed. Oh, my God, they're
Here
so
it comes.
Good. No, and that's what I want him to do again. I think it'll be a mirage. I think it'll be false confidence, but I think that's what you can build toward. With Josh McDaniels running the offense, with Josh McDaniels building his rapport with Drake May, and then this forthcoming schedule of winnable football games, do I think if they're, whatever the number you had, 6-2 after this stretch, do I think they're really a 6-2 team, like Parcells would say? No, I don't.
Well, you just told me you are what your record says you are.
I know. I was just screwing around. If they're 6-2, do I think they're going to be that good?
No.
But they could be. They could have those
because
results.
Because of the caliber of opponents that they'll have played.
And if you have good coaching that pulls it together, cleans it up, they don't have turnovers, and Josh McDaniels dialing up or getting in his bag, which seemed to annoy Adam Jones, that people were saying that Josh McDaniels was in his bag.
He doesn't. Well, he's not a Josh McDaniels guy.
Why isn't he?
I don't know. Ask him next time you would do one of those crossovers.
So I will actually. What he has against Josh McDaniels?
He was not need. They all, everybody wanted. Oh, I want this guy. I want Cliff Kingsbury. I want this.
Ben Johnson, so he can stare down female sideline reporters and make them feel uncomfortable. Nice job, Ben, you bully.
That wasn't great.
No, that wasn't a good look.
Just for, I think, just trying to be a bit playful with her interview, right?
I don't know if she was playful, question again? Uncomfortable. So what are you going to change, or what do you have to change? Something like that.
Nothing.
But it came on the heels of him saying, we just have to push the reset button, which the reset button is change, right? Like that, whether it's going back to the original or whether it's going to something new, you're hitting reset in the second half. And then he stared her down.
I saw, and it was discomforting.
Did not care for that at all.
I kind of just like, I understand you want to change the culture in Chicago, but you don't do it by staring down and trying to intimidate sideline interviews.
I've been a little unimpressed with him as a head coach. Speaking of guys that didn't have great runs as head coaches, but are good offensive coordinators. Back to Josh McDaniels. The poll today at Jumbo Heart at WEEI Afternoons. I used our lineup of interviewees as the barometer here. Which regular WEEI Afternoons guest had the best day on Sunday's blowout of the Panthers? And the options were Marcus Jones, mm-hmm. Drake May, Josh mm-hmm. McDaniels. You want to guess?
I'm going to say that it went Drake May, 47%, Marcus Jones, 32%, Josh McDaniels, 21%.
No, Marcus Jones, 54%.
Wow.
Drake May, 30%. And then Josh McDaniels, 16%. Josh McDaniels, I would say, has a complicated relationship with the fan base here, complicated relationship with fans in a lot of places. But I thought yesterday was an example of Josh McDaniels at his best, scheming things up. Being creative in his pass game, being creative in his run game, getting the most out of his talent. I still don't think this is an overly talented offense. And I think if you get those types of performances from Josh McDaniels, scheming things up on a weekly basis. Now, I do need to accept the first drive, which is supposed to be scripted. You mm-hmm. come out the gates, that whole thing wasn't a good productive drive. That led to a punt. But other than that, I thought Josh was awesome.
Yeah. Pats have not been dynamite on the opening drive. They scored against the Raiders, and no, they didn't. They've been terrible on the opening drive all season long.
Oh yeah, both sides of the ball, they kind of stink to start games.
And then in the first quarter, they've allowed people to score points on every opening drive. That's so strange. But then once you flush that from your system, they quote unquote get in their bag. I thought Josh was, as a DJ put it this way: everything he touched, everything he slid, everything he put on, everything he spun yesterday, it was hitting on all the right notes. But that's a good. What ends up happening is that against an inferior opponent like the Panthers, that's where you can test things out and start to develop momentum and rhythm, which is exactly what this team needs, given how wildly inconsistent they had been the first 3 weeks.
Do you know they scored more than 21 points in the first half for the first time in 1,366 days? January 2nd, 2022. Wow. It was the end of Josh McDaniels.
Did you say January 2nd, 2022?
Yeah.
That was the whoop-ass. That was the Christian Wilkerson game against the Jaguars.
That was also the end of Josh McDaniels.
And it was the end of Josh McDaniels'
last tenure with the Patriots. So it's funny. Feels like there's a lot of numbers and a lot of examples that tell you Josh McDaniels, pretty good offensive coordinator. Josh McDaniels, pretty good working with young quarterbacks, mm-hmm. pretty good working with various quarterbacks. But all people want to throw at him is Tom Brady. What's he ever done without Tom Brady? Well, if you did a little research, I think you'd know he kind of has done a lot without Tom Brady. And this is something that our guy Brian Hoyer has said, mm-hmm. brought up a lot. Like, he gets sort of...
Big fan. He worked with him in multiple locations.
Yes, and I get that probably creates a little bias as well.
Sure.
That Josh brought him to different places, and he's been with him at different places. But I also think there's truth to it. For anybody who wants to take the time and not be lazy and just take the low-hanging Josh McDaniels, Tom Brady fruit... That tree has a lot of other different fruits that he's worked with. And I think yesterday you got an example of what Josh McDaniels, young quarterback Drake May, where this relationship can go. And I'm going to say it again. What has been better through 4 weeks? Drake May in the offense or the defense?
Well, at this point now, it's getting closer.
I think it's the offense. I don't even think it's close.
I'd say the offense. I would probably give it to the offense, but I think the defense showed up yesterday. You haven't seen the defense at full strength.
Well, it was just against Carolina.
We'll say the same thing about the offense. Well, it was just against Carolina.
Carolina's offense kind of stinks, and they were banged up.
And their defense, save for like a good and a half cornerback kind of stinks.
Pass defense had been good.
One rusher, one cornerback.
Yeah, there's definitely more talent on that side of the ball, and the biggest argument is whatever you think of Bryce Young. If you think Bryce Young isn't very good.
Might be a nice person. I just don't think he is the future under center.
No, so they're back in that dryer, tumbler, whatever you want to call it, in all likelihood of looking for a franchise quarterback.
Well, they're not going to find one in next year's draft because there's not a lot of good ones coming down the
pipe. You never know. Drew Aller, you don't like him?
I thought
you were a Nussmeier guy. You already dumped on Nussmeier?
He's fine. I didn't say he's the future.
There's going to be first-round picks in the draft, 100%. There's going to be guys in the top 10.
How about your guy Sellers?
I like him a lot. I think he's a little raw, and I'm not really sure.
He's banged up right now, too.
He's definitely banged up, but I'm not sure I would want to draft him. I'm not sure I would want to invest my future as a general manager, as an owner, as a coach in him, but I also think he has the potential to be electric. I did want to poke holes, I guess, in one of the statistics that's been attributed to Drake May. The one that has him in comparison to Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. And it was something like 135-plus passer rating, 75% completions, plus a rushing touchdown and a passing touchdown in a game or something like that. And it was just Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Drake May. Totally devalued for me.
Mm-hmm.
If the stat basically started like 6 years ago, 5 years ago, it's more a indication of where the game is and what quarterbacks are asked to do than it is an indication of how good he is. And I'm a Drake May guy. We know that. I started the show saying he's a Patriots Hall of Famer already.
Are you back to saying, just curious, hi, first time, long time.
Fitzy in Foxborough.
Are you back to Drake May as a diamond?
Yeah, I think he's a diamond.
Oh, now he is, even though diamonds can be smashed.
Yeah, we've moved past that. We learned that lesson. We've moved past that. Diamonds can also get dirty.
Collectively as a show and a people?
Yes,
we've
moved past that. Diamonds can also get dirty. But this diamond
is... And be given to people for making cataclysmic mistakes.
Josh McDaniels put one of those little things on, and he's got it in one eye, and he's holding him in some of that soft, felt paper. He's rubbing it up, and he has buffed up this diamond, and it's blinding. This diamond of late, Dan Ball.
So I wanted to ask you about this because I saw you fighting with people on Twitter about Drake May, which is how I knew you were having a beer.
Just real quick.
Yeah.
I fight when sober, too.
Oh, really?
Back to your point.
Oh, learn something new every day.
what a treat for everyone.
Where were you in terms of certainty that Drake May was a diamond going into the season? Where were you after week one? And then what's that kind of progression been like since?
So let's do confidence level, okay?
Yes.
I'll use the Steph Diggs 1-10 confidence level, comfort level.
Yeah, okay. And then put it out of Johnson's.
So... Okay, and in Johnson's.
Yeah.
So coming into the season.
Anyone else's head hurt?
I was probably like a 7.5 Johnson's confidence level.
Okay.
After week one, it dropped. I was probably down to like 6 Johnson's. I don't know if alarmed would be the word based on that performance, but I thought that looked really bad.
What did you think that he was trending towards being? Like, versus, you know, a bust.
Well, just that one game. So it's a tough trend because it's only one game.
Bust is a little strong, though, no? I mean, from one to franchise quarterback, I mean, I feel like that a 6 is at least serviceable, no?
Yeah, I felt like, you know what I felt like he was trending toward?
What?
Like a Sam Darnold or somebody that he has talent.
Yeah.
He's not going to be the guy.
Made hundreds of millions.
Go somewhere else, and you're like, oh, he does have talent. He's pretty good.
Yeah.
Might not still be the guy, but is a starting quarterback, if not a franchise quarterback.
A Daniel Jones, perhaps?
The good Daniel Jones?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Now I'm more in line with, is it $500 million it costs you when you sign him in a couple of years? Is it $600 million? What's the average annual value?
$600 million. Just stop and think for a second. Drake May, $600 million.
It doesn't matter who the name is. Do you believe he's a franchise quarterback? The name's irrelevant. If you're signing the guy to be your franchise quarterback.
I need to watch him. I don't have enough data yet.
Yeah, I don't need more data or data.
No. Nope.
Either one.
Nope. Then what happened? We've all been on this ride.
No, don't talk to me in a month.
We've all been on this ride. No, he's going to play a couple other tough teams, and he's going to spit the bit once or twice. Then it's going to be, this guy stinks. I knew he didn't have the stones for the big moments. I was never a Drake May guy. And then we'll pull the tape and
he'll
be like,
that
wasn't me. That was AI.
I'll never say I was never a Drake May guy. Absolutely not. I was a Drake May guy before the draft. During the draft process.
You know, once you get on the roller coaster, you can't ask it to stop mid-loop and go, I'd like to get off now, please.
No, I'm not. I don't.
You got to stay on the ride the whole way through.
This is like the scariest roller coaster in the world because it's just a consistent incline. It's just going upward, the trajectory. And you're like, that's a cloud.
An
we just went by an airplane, and it is just rising. Now, I don't know exactly when it's going to hopefully never crash back down to reality of Earth. No, I was shook, as the kids say, I think, or kids used to say. They probably don't say
it's
it
been
anymore.
A while.
After week one. And I think Ted Johnson was in a similar boat. We talked about that he was a Drake May defender and advocate, and I thought Drake May did not look good, and it was alarmingly bad, maybe a little bit of an overreaction there. But if you remember, we were talking about he's not comfortable, he's afraid to make mistakes, he's not trying to make
he
plays.
Was thinking too much.
Well, he stopped thinking, because ever since, and there's been some technical aspects of it, obviously, motion, shotgun, play action, some of the different things that Josh has dialed up, and that's where I'll get back to Josh. And the good news is, where's Josh going?
Nowhere.
Nowhere. Anytime soon. That may not be good for him, but he's going nowhere anytime soon. So you don't have to worry. If they get really comfortable and it works, he's not leaving you, and then Mac Jones 2.0, and oh my God, who's coming in? How do you fix it? New relationship, blah. The 5 years we're at with Drake May, consecutive seasons with a new coordinator?
Four.
I thought it was five. It's fun. Four or five, it's done. That will not be extended. That streak has ended, and that streak will stay.
Do you think Drake will take it the wrong way when you ask him, hey, are you not thinking out there?
I'm going to add that to my list of questions
there we go.
Here. I'm going to say, mean this in a good way. Are you thinking less out there? So really make sure he knows.
Yeah, no.
It's not like a douchey question.
Yeah,
it's like
actually it's a relevant question to the whole process. Is he not thinking now? Has it all been sort of like absorbed and he is able to just act without thinking?
Are you not thinking out there? Perfect.
We're show prepping when we should have already been reviewing the interview.
Good thing the interview didn't happen an hour ago and it was supposed to, or I could have never asked that question. We are awaiting Drake May any moment now. Any moment now, Drake. Maybe, you know what he's probably doing? Making sure he gets in a good cell area or getting a landline.
So where's he driving? To a Verizon store?
Yeah, maybe, because that's the only excuse for this extended. Or, no, they're still breaking down the game. Like, how bad could it? You only threw 17 passes. You had a touchdown run. You only had 3 incompletions.
I mean, I know he was upset about taking the sack, but how upset can you be that you have to review it for an extra hour?
There wasn't that much bad. I mean, I go back to his David Andrews story. It's never as good as you think. Maybe it was worse than he thought. We all thought it was good, and now he's breaking it down. He's like, that was bad. Got lucky there. Boy, you flew by the seat of your pants there. Maybe Josh McDaniels is going Bill Belichick old school. When you think that they're feeling too good, that's when you really undercut them, that little reverse psychology.
Yeah.
That was a terrible performance. You're lucky you got those punt returns. You would have got your ass whooped by Bryce Young and the Panthers.
Great minds think alike. There you go.
But that's not Vrabel.
One great mind and you, Bill.
That's not Vrabel, if you will. I mean, that's now all positive. My God.
You heard that? Pickup on that.
Can we play Mix 104 for a while now? We're just filling for Drake.
Stiz, like, did you guys have dinner? You and Bill. He was in town.
Oh yeah,
he was down my way at Tabor Academy. I saw on Friday night, Saturday. I think he was at Belmont Hill. Maybe
he offered to take me out to go with him and Jordan, but I said, Bill, I need you to focus on the game plan for your next opponent. We had a rough week this week.
We. Yeah.
You know, by the way, Clemson, it opened at 12. It opened at 12.5, and now it's up to 13.5.
Oh, that's going in the
wrong
direction.
So our boss, Ken, asked us, what is the safest bet? Was it Red Sox,
UNC,
and Patriots?
I would say gold.
I would say Red Sox.
Gold is probably the best investment.
I think Clemson's not,
they're not
this year. That's a big spread.
You know who else is not good?
Both of these coaches are on the could-be-fired lists. The odds to be fired, they're in that conversation. And that's surprising for some with Dabo Sweeney, and probably surprising for some with Bill Belichick as he settles in. And I give him credit. I thought he was just at Tabor in Marion on his way to Nantucket.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's at Belmont Hill on Saturday, okay, maybe you're legitimately scouting. Now, does somebody need to tell him that I love Massachusetts? I love high school football in Massachusetts. I'm not sure all the greatest athletes in the world are playing high school football in Massachusetts.
You know where he might have slightly better success?
Florida, Texas,
North
California.
Carolina.
Forget about that. Does he know that, like, if you go down NFL rosters, there's a lot of California, Texas, Florida's there? the Massachusetts aren't quite as, and I love Massachusetts. I think it's a very high level of high school football.
Hey, watch out. My next door neighbor, Everett, they were on the map there for a little while.
Yeah, everybody was for a little while. Mm. My Dartmouth Indians were for a little while. They had a couple NFL players on the roster, but they're few and far between. If you go to certain high schools down south, they have an NFL player every year, every single year. So, Bill, not going to tell you how to do your job. But
Texas is a legitimate. He's probably going to familiar ponds to fish. That's what it is. He's eating at familiar restaurants.
Tabor's only been good for 2 years.
Doesn't matter. This is his comfort zone. This is where he lived for a third of his life. Meanwhile, he could literally get in his car, point it at Texas, and over the course of a 3-hour drive, probably find 10 NFL prospects over the series of a couple
just
of different Friday night
randomly
lights.
Out of a hat.
It's a very good
a
chance.
Circle a name on a
They're
roster.
They're super good.
How annoying do you think Jordan Hudson is on a 5-hour
very,
car
Very. I don't need the rest of it. Very. Just stop the sentence. Very.
Remember the scene in Dumb and Dumber? You guys want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
No. Just picture this. They're in the car together. She's blasting Taylor Swift. And Bill has his hands on his wheel. And every she's
on
like,
the,
you love
on
this song,
wheel?
Right? You love this song. He's like, yeah, I love this song.
No, we love this song.
Yeah, we.
Yeah. It's bad.
What do
it's
they talk? I really do want to know what they talk about. I'll never know.
I don't want to know what they talk about. Yeah, because I think it would
secretly
make me uncomfortable.
Secretly you do. No,
hey, can I have some money?
Yeah, that just happens automatically. 617-779-7937. As we said, we are awaiting the quarterback of the New England Patriots, Drake May. He was scheduled to join us at 3:15. Now we're going to shoot for a little after 4:20 because up next he will hopefully join us. But first, Dan Ball will have what's trending.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Pitch to Sadon. He's swung on and driven. High and deep into center field. It's at the track. It is at the wall. Off the wall. Romney's coming to third. The Red Sox are going to the playoffs. Sadon, say hello to October.
I want to thank you for the effort. I want to thank you for everything you guys have done. But we didn't come here to play only 162. We came here to win the World Series.
That's what most of us heard Friday night as the Red Sox clinched their spot in the playoffs. At least one of us could watch it. Dan Ball was in the house at Fenway Park after our show and predicted the walk-off win, which we got. Our guy Rafaela again.
And unbelievable.
Everybody celebrated.
Set the scene. I didn't hear any firsthand account of like how like you were in the house for your Cooper Criswell game, the one
yep.
that you obviously called.
Roman Anthony walk off.
Gross. And Ted was in the house for. I think we have to surface audio of that. I think Stiz actually found audio of your infamous rant against Criswell post trade deadline. Ted was in the house for the Rafaela All Star break home run, and you were there for the walk off into the postseason. How was it?
It was incredible. First of all, thank you to Mike Thomas for the tickets. Last minute, decided to stay after the show.
Oh my!
Can you wipe
goodness.
Your nose?
Holy smokes!
You guys want to keep going? Go right ahead.
We want the baseball. You can do the other stuff on personal time. How was Fenway Park?
I don't really want to tell you anymore, but no, it was. I got to tell you though. I mean, the first five or six innings, Very boring. The Red Sox were asleep at the wheel, and it kind of felt it in the park a little bit. Like the fans were ready to roll at the beginning, and the Red Sox showed up by not showing up at the beginning of the game. And so I was a little wary of how it was going, but slowly but surely they clawed their way back. And there was kind of a feeling when Duran tied the game, oh, it's a matter of time before they win this at this point. Chapman comes in, electric as always, and it was bedlam. It was one of the coolest things I've witnessed in person, for sure.
And it was first, though, trending toward Rob Bradford. Oh, we're all going to be up at 1 a.m. waiting to see if the Astros can help the Red Sox clinch. And I'm so glad. It was like the polar opposite end of the spectrum of that. Instead of waiting and backing your way in, you did it your way, which is Friday night, the Fenway Greens, a walk-off, the crowd, the lights, the whole thing. Rafaela even has been in the mix for a lot of these. So I thought that was really cool and good for them. If you're going to be what I think they can be, which is could beat the Yankees, could beat the Blue Jays, and then who knows, you're playing with house money if you get only to the ALCS.
Only one team in the American League, I think, honestly, should be considered. Two teams in the American League.
Say, that grew quickly.
Yep, it did. You're facing one of them now in the wild card. Yankees could go on a run because they've got the power. They could just hit enough home runs to muscle their way into an ALCS.
But
or the
do they
series.
Have a Yoshida at Yankee Stadium?
My guy!
Yep, I can't wait till you disown him by Thursday. And also, got to give honest, the Mariners. Mariners are a good
Well, they're supposed to be good.
I know. They made two amazing trades, and they got the Dumpa.
If you asked me which team on paper I think I would pick, it should be the Mariners. Yeah, I think they're supposed to be the best baseball team, or maybe the least flawed baseball team. I think all three of the AL East teams that are in the mix here in this little love triangle that you're going to play in the postseason are extremely flawed baseball teams.
You can poke significant holes in all three of them, whether it's physical or mental, like the Blue Jays and the sky apparently not falling, according to their manager.
What would be the oddest World Series? Like Mariners, Reds? Mariners, Padres? Like, what's the scorigami, Dan Ball, without having to look? Like, what is the scorigami of World Series combos? It would have to be, like, Padres, Mariners.
Yeah, I think honestly, the Reds are probably the team in the NL that you mentioned would be a team that is extremely unlikely. But they have Terry Francona on their side.
God, I love Terry.
And we know damn well what he can do to a young team to galvanize them. But, Andy, I had a question for you. Last week when we were talking about who did you want the Red Sox to face, you were bullish on I want to see Toronto.
Yeah.
But you came into the show today being like, I think the Red Sox are going to win the series in the Bronx.
Yeah.
What changed?
Well, nothing changed. I would feel even better about the Red Sox if they were facing the Blue Jays.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I think, I mean, the Red Sox went 9-4 this year against the Yankees. You lost one series by really one game. And who won that one game, though? It was 2-1. Who won the one game?
Garrett Crochet.
Garrett Crochet gotcha. Is the right answer. Say it with an exclamation point, not a question mark.
Garrett Crochet.
So if you do that again, but kind of reverse it, you got Crochet on the mound for the first game. Boom. That changes everything. I don't trust the Yankees if I'm a Yankees fan. I think the Yankees want to lose, could screw it up.
94 win. You don't trust a 94 win team that's been playing really good baseball the last several weeks?
I do not. It's the playoffs. All it's right. a different season. They do not have the starters
they
we talked
Aaron
about.
Aaron Judge.
Yeah, they do have Aaron Judge. And what has Aaron Judge done against Garrett Crochet? 11 strikeouts and 15 at-bats, I believe. Ignore the others.
Wait, have you missed the ones where he's hit the ball to the moon, Mars, and Medford?
But more likely is he strikes out.
Okay, but
right,
if he still strikes, but
Andy,
if he strikes out twice and he faced him three times, like we saw in that famous Friday night 2-1 game.
Yeah, but it's more than that. It's 11 out of 15.
Three strikeouts, and then he hit one literally across town.
Yes. Okay, you're probably not going to be the key to that is solo home run.
Okay.
If he gives up a solo home run, you give yourself a puncher's chance. What you can't do, I told you, my worst case scenario, I think they are going to the ALCS. I think they're going to beat the Yankees. I think they're going to beat the Blue Jays. My worst case scenario, though, is ground ball to short. Story throws it away. Oh, now we got a runner on, and now Judge hits a two. If you start hitting those multiple home runs, that's how you lose. But shouldn't you feel really good about Garrett Crochet?
Oh, you should.
Okay.
You should, yes.
In a three-game series, I have the best pitcher in the series. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You have the best Actually, may I say this? You have the best starter and you have the best relievers.
Probably relievers, right.
Oh, Garrett Whitlock is
That's a great point. So if I told you,
untouchable,
you know those
right
things
now
they like to do on like either pictures of an outline, like the shadow, and they try to tell if you these stats, who's this person? If
and
I
like, just they told reveal,
you,
yeah,
you have a baseball team that has by far the best starter in the series going game one.
We got a good
and
baseball
he's followed
team
up by the best setup guy and the best closer in the series. Any team, don't you go, oh, I like that team's chances.
You got a great game one.
Right? Yep.
But game one is all you need because then you just got to steal one.
That
and
is
it
not
is
how
baseball
a series works, but I understand your
it's
point.
It's baseball.
See, the way you have to win multiple games, it's called a series.
And that's where I factor in Boone and the Yankees. I think they will tighten up. I think the home crowd will start to get that weird, like, squirrel. We just saw New Yorkers. They're a interesting crew at the Ryder Cup, correct? So you give them reason to want to boo, to be a little antsy, to have a little angst in their voices. They'll take it.
Okay. A text line thought and then a legitimate question. The text line thought, Yoshida's not going to play the first two games versus lefty starters. It's going to be Ref Snyder time.
Oh, come on.
To the table. Do you play? Dan Ball, Stiz Grimy, do you play?
Your best hitter, Yoshida?
Andy's favorite. I think you just got matching Yoshida jerseys for the family, right?
Yeah. Okay. Now I now pull my pants up really high and tuck them in.
I've noticed, by the way, earlier, I saw you running. Your arms are really...
Can I do that?
Your arms are really tight to the body, too, Yoshida style. Do you play Yoshida, or do you put in the legend of Ref Snyder?
You have to play Yoshida at this point. He's simply been too good for you not to. Now
he's been multi-hits virtually every game for like 12 days.
Max Fried is tough on lefty.
Screw Max Fried.
All right. Young
Yoshida's
man, that's enough.
Ready.
Young man, that's enough language out of you.
I think your name that you're looking for potentially sitting in game one is Abreu, though. I don't think he's back to full form, and I think he's a bat against a right-handed reliever that comes off the bench.
Okay, so we play the ref, and we also go with Yoshida, and then Abreu is available as it. Okay, nicely done, Dan Ball.
And this is where you get back to, Dan Ball, appreciate your input, but Alex Cora's input. Ted and I started it on Friday talking about Cora in the postseason might be your greatest strength, might be your best weapon, and might be the best weapon any team has, right? Like every Crochet, for example, he can only win you one game. Alex Cora can win you two. Alex Cora can win you three. If he's good, I'm not saying he definitely will, so cue the Alex Cora text line in the calls that he's overrated, what's he ever won without cheating, all these things that people love to throw at him. But I think this is an opportunity for you to see. I think Friday night. Did you think Alex Cora played to win and helped you win that game on Friday night?
Absolutely. I thought it was one of his best managed games the year, if not in years.
That's funny. So he treated it like a playoff game. It felt like a playoff game, right? You were there.
Yeah, and they came from behind and won the game while not having their A stuff.
And he had his best game, or one of his best games.
That's correct.
Treating it like a playoff game in a playoff environment. That shows you what he is. So it's a little like we get frustrated with him. Oh, why doesn't he try to win this? Oh, Ramon Vasquez would have done this or whatever. Alex plays the long con. But when he's in that must-win situation, which he now is, every game is must-win. We agree with that, too, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Every game must-win.
You kind of want to need to win all those games, which is what gives birth to this question. When you face Aaron Judge, would you consider walking him?
It depends on the situation.
Okay, if there's no one on, base is empty, no one on, I'm not giving you a chance to beat me.
Depends on the situation, but I would absolutely consider it. That's where I would bow down to Alex Cora and his gut and his Bailey.
I hope it's on the table.
I always give myself an A, bro.
Wait, I do got to call him out for a minute here real quick. And we are awaiting here on WEEI Afternoons, Drake May. Or maybe Dan Ball's not waiting anymore.
I'm over it. Talking socks.
Wait,
I'm
hold on. What happens if we get a full blow-off? Do we get free pizzas tomorrow?
We take back the red jacket. He's not a Patriots Hall of Famer if he blows us off for a full show.
Wow.
You're damn right.
Wow.
I had him in the hall at Patriot Place, and now he's out if he doesn't show up. But Alex Cora, the strength of Alex Cora, the postseason, like that can steal you a game. So I just gave you the scenario, right? Is it a very simple scenario? Crochet just does what Crochet do in game one, and then Alex Cora steals you game two with Bayo and whatever the hell else he wants to do with May or Toley or Harrison, however he figures it out. And what are you doing? You're packing your stuff and you're going to face the Blue Jays north of the border, right? Like, it's that simple. But I did want to say this micromanaging type thing, Dan Ball, you're a baseball guy.
I am.
How open are you to just walking Aaron Judge and not allowing one swing to ruin anything?
I I wouldn't do it every time. It's situational.
Right.
I would have to see where we are in the game, where you are in your bullpen availability before I do it. He's also a career 205 hitter in the postseason. The guy that you should be worried about in this series is Giancarlo Stanton.
Oh, so walk Judge to get to Stanton. What's Stanton what's his career postseason average?
It's not good radio for me to just say better than Judge, so I'll get you a number in 30 seconds.
No, actually, but I appreciate that. Stiz, yeah. Would you walk him?
Well, the issue there is you can think of right off the top of your head three or four guys that you're afraid of on the Yankees, right? Is that fair to say? Like, I don't know how many guys they're afraid of. Like, if you look at the Red Sox lineup, who are you afraid of right now? I know we're joking about my guy Yoshida and how good he is.
Can I be? All right, I'll shoot you dead straight. Zero.
Yeah, zero. So
now Narvaez, maybe.
No, zero. You were right at zero. Stop talking.
Rafaela.
You look at their lineup. Nope. Judge, Stanton. Jazz Chisholm has had a good year. Isn't he 30-30? Yeah, I think he had a 30-30 year.
Over the span of his first 162 games with the Yankees, yeah.
So,
from last trade deadline to this
year. That's three guys right there. And now, he's a whack job. He could win you the series by being a whack job. He does crazy things. Like, we saw him get thrown out right in front of us at third base at Fenway Park a couple Fridays ago.
It was great.
Like, that could absolutely happen. But they have guys that you legitimately fear in the lineup. I can try to talk myself into Trevor Story. I can try to talk myself into Bregman, postseason Breggy, St. Bregman on the way, ain't Yankee Stadium, ain't seen nothing yet but St. Bregman, all of that. But I'm kind of selling it the way I'm kind of selling Yoshida. So I'm excited for this series. That's the one thing I will say. Also, I believe I should tell everyone, I believe we will be preempted tomorrow. We'll have a shortened, abbreviated WEEI Afternoons with a 6:08 start. Pre-game should be around 5:08, so we'll be off the air a little bit after 5 o'clock. Yes, Dan Ball?
The biggest news related to that as well. 6:08 first pitch, the booth, Will Fleming, Will Middlebrooks, and Loomer Long.
Literally just took it right out of my mouth.
Oh,
I was going to say, let the audience know they are getting a super booth. Super booth.
Should have put it back in your mouth. A super booth I am looking forward to. Please don't say that ever again. A radio booth I am looking forward to. Also, just for me being the selfish guy, these 6:08 starts don't work great for the commute, but they work great for not having to stay up late. That's a nice start time. Remember the old days you'd watch a playoff baseball game that would start at like 8:19 and you're like, this is going to end at 2 in the morning.
You're up first. Guess Alex Bregman's postseason career batting average.
287.
Dan Ball?
It's lower. I think it's 240.
238.
Yeah, that doesn't worry me.
That doesn't?
Postseason to me is not as much about high batting average as high situational success. Clutch
All right,
hits.
Let's see. He also happens to have 19 ding-dongs, 54 ribeyes in 99 games.
Yeah.
It's a lot. He's played almost.
He's productive.
More than a half season of postseason baseball.
That's where I get, like, Judge doesn't, you bring up Judge's average for me. That doesn't alarm me. I don't think averages are huge in postseason baseball. I think it's more about, clutch hitting, RBIs, home runs, things of that nature, and coming up big when it is most needed. 617-779-7937. Are you excited about the Red Sox? Of course you're excited. What am I asking? Red Sox, Yankees, postseason, return to the postseason.
Is it going to be fun?
Obviously, you're absolutely excited here. On WEEI Afternoons, we are awaiting the arrival of Drake May for his weekly interview. I don't know that we have him yet, so we're going to take a quick break and await Drake May here on WEEI Afternoons on a Patriots Monday, back after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Well, I think it's big stuff, obviously, 100 mile an hour, the cutter slot sweeper change, you know, but then, you know, his size and deception that he creates. If you threw a silhouette up there, there's no confusing who it is, you know. But I think with also having great stuff, there's really good deception in there that, you know, allows that place stuff to really play, and then the ability to put the ball where he wants. Obviously, he gets a lot of chase too, but, you know, the ability to first and foremost be able to be a strike thrower with that stuff, with that deception, puts him in a pretty good place.
Yankees manager and frequent ejection, Aaron Boone. That would be a good bet in this series. One of the managers get ejected? A lot of ejections over the course of this season for both of these managers. Maybe take the over, the 0.5 over in that. Time now here on WEEI Afternoons for our league leaders and who's circling the drains, presented by Drains by James. Drains by James is Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at drainsbyjames.com. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. Drake May is among the league leaders in completion percentage, in passing yards, and in passer rating in the top five. Right now, he's circling the drains in terms of my patience because I've been waiting an hour and a half for him to call this damn program on a Patriots Monday. I was told he'd call at 3:15, and it's now coming up on 5 o'clock, and we still haven't spoken with him. By the way, when we speak to him, it'll be football talk, and football talk on WEEI is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. He's a huge part. Yeah, it's a huge weapon.
Can we just air that for 20 minutes and pretend he called and wash our hands of the whole situation?
I mean, it'll get the point across.
Yeah. Lord.
Yeah.
Drake, you running a little late today?
That'd be sweet.
Good Lord.
It would be sweet, Drake, if you joined us.
Let's go back to the phone line, 617-779-7937, talking a little Red Sox-Yankees, Yankee Stadium. Yoshida going to be the king of New York, going to hit a bomb. Anyway, Ted in San Diego, what's up?
Hey, Andy, Fitzy. So look, when you talk about that embarrassment of a ballpark in New York, I mean, that right field fence, I believe, is shorter than it is at Williamsport where they played the Little League World Series.
Might not be wrong.
So when you talk about all these guys you're fearing in the Yankees lineup, I mean, to pop up to right field, you got to wonder, is that going to go out of the park or not? So I discount all of the statistics that those Yankees hitters have because, to me, it's a borderline Little League ballpark, and all those left-handed hitters would do nothing at Fenway, and they're hitting tape measure home runs that barely would make it to the warning track at Fenway.
Thanks for the call, Ted. Appreciate the call.
Well, our lefties that would hit home runs like a Duran, like a Yoshida, like an Abreu, et cetera, would benefit from the short porch just the same way that the Bellingers and the Chisholms of the world would.
Yeah, they're both playing on the same field. Yeah. And I'm hoping that's like part of my little vision here with Yoshida is think about going into the offseason. If you're the New York Yankees, you're Aaron Judge, you're Aaron Boone, you're, you know, Hal Steinbrenner and Susan Waldman and all these people. And you get sent packing because Yoshida hits a home run in your little Cracker Jack ballpark. Like what helps you sometimes come back to bite you in the ass? I think there would be some poetic justice, poetic sports justice in that. That's why I want my guy Yoshida to get the job done.
I hope Narvaez and Whitlock play integral key roles in the dismantling and defeat of the New York Yankees.
Oh, yeah, you're big on that storyline.
Yeah, I love former Yankees.
Sleeping with the enemy.
I love former Yankees getting back at him.
Okay, I'm all for that. Whatever the little scenario is, if it involves the Red Sox advancing and going
now
to
I
Toronto.
I got people tweeting at me and texting me, where's Drake May? What the hell?
If I knew, I'd put him on the air and I'd talk to him.
Call someone.
Maybe his phone's not working. That's a very believable excuse for him.
Yeah, that'll hold up in a court of law.
617-779-7937. Let's clean up. We talked about Bill Belichick earlier. He was in the area scouting on the bye weekend for the University of North Carolina. He was at Tabor Academy. I think he was at Belmont Hill. So Dave in Fall River has a comment on Belichick. What's up, Dave?
So when I was down south, these guys didn't really like the Patriots or Bill Belichick too much. So I can't see any of these southern families down there sending any of their little cash cow babies to go make some money with Bill Belichick trying to get in the NFL. I don't know how that would work out.
All right. Thanks for the call, Dave. Interesting. I think if Bill Belichick called with NIL money that's over $20 million a year now or whatever the hell it is, I think that even if they hated the Patriots growing up or their parents didn't like the Patriots growing up. That's the other thing. It's been a while. Some of these kids aren't, you know, they're starting to age out of the Patriot dynasty a little bit here. It's the back end of the Patriot dynasty.
There's no, is there anyone left on the roster that won a Super Bowl? I don't believe so.
Not Cardona.
He's with Miami, which is weird.
Yeah.
I don't think there is. By the way, text line doing their job. 603, you guys, you're relying on a 23-year-old to be on on time to something.
No, I'm relying on his quote-unquote people, handlers, the people that organize these things.
Maybe he needs to get paid $600 million, like Andy said, after he gets fit for his wrench.
You know what happens when you don't know why something, like, you know the parent thing? Where's my kid? Dead in a ditch? Like, immediately the parent goes dead in a ditch. That's what happens. Like, so, do you want to get creative real quick here? Why is Drake May, what's your most creative reason Drake May hasn't called in the 2 hours he was supposed to call us?
Fell asleep.
That's not very creative. Stiz is more creative than that. Stiz, what's your most creative reason why Drake May hasn't called when he was scheduled to call at 3:15? Okay, Stiz.
Oh.
You got to turn the microphone on.
I got fell down a YouTube wormhole of UFO videos.
Yeah, I could see that.
Stiz is so afraid to say whatever is actually on the top of his mind and his tongue right now.
Don't
Dan Ball, where is he?
He is riding in Ted Johnson's sidecar on his motorcycle somewhere without cell service.
And that's a good, safe, cute one. I was just, you know, maybe he was watching Alex Cora and Garrett Crochet's press conferences and got all Red Sox wrapped up postseason baseball.
He has journalistic aspirations, and he was at Celtics Media Day.
Oh, that's
which
good
just
too.
Ended.
And Jaylen Brown was late. It ran late. He wanted to make. He had to get.
And now
JB.
He's interviewing Bill Nye, the science guy, who apparently was there with him.
And he's looking into how Tatum came back so quickly from a torn Achilles. Coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it could be 5. Well, it's definitely going to be 5 o'clock. It could be The Drive. It could be Drake May. I don't know what the hell it's going to be, but stick around. It'll be fun. Talk to you soon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.